out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 27th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I think today we will continue on the same subject matter that we were talking about yesterday. But before we get into that, I'd just like to mention something that's going on in the news at the moment. They're talking about how 18 illegal immigrants have been rescued from a dinghy in the English Channel. And this just makes me think, if you came across a gang of burglars that were trying to break into your home, would you quote unquote rescue them and bring them into your home? Or would you do all that you could to scare them off? You would scare them off. So why are the British government rescuing these invaders and bringing them onto our shores and giving them everything that they've come here for? You might as well just open up your house and let the burglars steal whatever it is they want to take. It's the same thing, whether it's your home or whether it's your country that's been broken into. Anyway, that's a different matter. We'll get back into solutions today, and really, maybe a better term for it would be coping with the new world order. Ways that we can ensure that we are doing the right thing. Because I don't think we're going to be able to have an uprising. And there is a reason for that. There is a good reason for that. When I was talking yesterday about how all the monarchies in the world, all the governments in the world, they're all in the devil's hands. That's always been, and it's been since the devil offered all these governments to Christ. But there is a disclaimer with that. There is a caution with that. They are in the devil's hands, but the devil has to obey the law. The governments have to obey the law. Whether they have now changed that law is a different matter. But when you had the monarchs that had been actually put in place by God, they obeyed Christian law, they obeyed the common law. Then you get the Jews in various different countries. And as I had mentioned before on Friday's episode about their connection to revolution, where the Jews are these agents of chaos and where we are agents of order. They seek to overturn the order, so they seek to promote revolution. And this is where we have the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, Spanish Revolution, all these various revolutions that have had Jews at the heart of it, these communist revolutions. And what happens when you have the revolution is that the king gets taken down and you end up with a worst ruler. It really is better the devil you know. Now, if you look at revolutions, none of them have actually turned out to be better than what was there before. Just look at the communist revolution for an example, and look at what happened to the USSR once they had killed the Tsar. We had a similar revolution here in Britain where we got rid of King Charles II. King Charles II was a really good king. He was well loved by the nation. And if you look at the rules that he wrote, I have looked for it before, but it's I can't find remember the exact title for it, but he wrote down this moral code of how a man should be. A really good, decent moral code. And Charles II was a good king. But they killed the king. They killed the king, and again, Jews had a hand in this. Oliver Cromwell killed the king, and they had their revolution, and they put the government in charge instead of the king. And one of the first things that this government did was bring the Jews back into England. And once they brought them back into England, they gave them the charter of the Bank of England, which set up the central banks. And ever since then, instead of following common law, we've had a government with democracy, which is basically the rule of the mob. It's just the rule of the majority rather than the rule by the qualified minority, the minority that are actually qualified to rule, that have high IQs and have studied what needs to be done in order to rule justly. Instead of that, we have had democracy since then, and we've had a constitutional monarchy. So wherever you look at revolutions, they always end up putting somebody worse in than we actually had before. And instead of having a king that may be bad, but still has to stick by the Christian law, has to stick by the common law, you end up with rulers from the common folk who aren't fit to rule, who aren't born to rule. And when we look at what sometimes get called revolutions, such as the National Socialist Revolution, that wasn't brought about by doing away with the people that were in charge. That was brought about through the vote. That was actually people that voted in Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And it was all done as part of the system, part of the legal system. And that obviously had positive effects for the German people. Obviously, the Jews claimed that it didn't have positive effects for them, but the Jews have their own nation. This was the German nation trying to do what was right for the Germans. And obviously, we would question the gas chamber story and the stories that were told about how much the Jews suffered during the war. Yes, the Jews did suffer during the war, but there's not one autopsy report of anybody gassed during World War II. And we question the story that there was a deliberate program of executing Jews when there was a war effort on and they needed people to work. But this is really a different subject that I'm wandering off onto here. What I'm trying to show is that revolutions are not what we should be aiming for, because revolution is what the Jew does. Think of Professor E. Michael Jones' book, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History. Now, all these revolutions that the Jews have been involved in have had a negative impact on world history. It's chaos. It's basically getting rid of the people that have been placed there by God, and you end up with somebody worse. It is always better the devil, you know. This is why I say what we should be doing is waiting until life, providence, puts something before us that we can support. What happened with Donald Trump? Providence put Donald Trump before us, and we supported him. Providence has put Matteo Salvini before us, and we support him. The same with Viktor Orban, and the same with Brexit, when we voted for Brexit here in Britain. Hopefully, providence will raise somebody up that we can support. Tommy Robinson has been raised up with the movement to free him while he was in prison. That united ethno-nationalists and civic nationalists and patriots and everybody on the right wing. Everybody got behind that movement to see him freed. So we get once again, this is something that Providence puts before us and we support it. But we shouldn't be supporting the idea of armed revolution, violent revolution, violent uprising, because it won't work, because it won't have God's blessing. As I said in yesterday's episode, it says that we have to obey the government. That's why it's better to keep the government in place that you had that followed the Christian law rather than trying to overturn them like we did by getting rid of the king. Because this is why the Jews have constantly pushed to get rid of the monarchies. You just have to look at the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and see how all of that has come true, to read the reasons for why they want to do this, why they wanted to get rid of the monarchies. Of course, they got rid of the French monarchy, got rid of the Russian monarchy. They'd already got rid of the British monarchy and put their own people in charge. And how can you then expect a monarchy to stand up for you if you've killed the king, if you've executed the king? We can't expect the queen to stand up for the British people because we executed the king. How we could have allowed Cromwell to do that, I just don't know, but we did. Again, this is why I say the reason for the situation that we are in today, it is our own fault. It is our own fault. We have to look within ourselves if we want to make improvements. And because of what happened in the Second World War, with communism winning, with Jewry winning, basically, we cannot just change things now. Things were set in motion at the end of the war that we are now paying for. We're now paying for the national karma of going to war against our own brothers, for the bankers, for the love of geld, for the love of gold. So all we can really do is make changes in our individual lives, as I was saying yesterday. Now, I brought up the subject of ethnic minorities, and then I got sidetracked thinking about something else yesterday as well. And what I wanted to say about ethnic minorities is we get told that we shouldn't be inciting people to hate. We shouldn't be inciting people to hate ethnic minorities. And that's not what we're doing here at Radio Arium. Hate is a very strong emotion, and to waste that on ethnic minorities is a complete waste. That emotional capital could be used elsewhere. We don't incite people to hate ethnic minorities, and you should try not to hate them. Be indifferent to them. Be completely indifferent to them. It's like when you hear about a child that was savaged by a fox. You don't hate foxes. If you hear of a surfer who had his leg bitten off by a shark, you don't hate sharks. Any of these instances with wild animals that do things, you don't hate your wild animal. You're just wary of them. You understand that's what wild animals do. And that's what we need to understand about these non-whites. Just have to understand that is what they do. Be indifferent to it. Protect ourselves from it. Protect yourself from it. Don't go anywhere near them if you can help it. Obviously, if you are working with them, you can't avoid them, and then you just be polite to them. So, I mean, again, this really gets me when the left make this idea up that, it's such a terrible threat to non-whites because a nationalist was working there and non-whites were working there too. We're not a threat to non-whites working with them. We accept that there isn't anything that we can do about it. And if we're working, we just work with them. We're polite, we're courteous to them. We don't want to offend them. And when we're talking to other white people that understand these things, then we use blunt conversation to describe what is going on. And we want to protect other whites from the danger of what can happen to them when they are around non-whites, particularly white girls, particularly young white girls that are targeted by these grooming gangs. So we should be speaking to white girls and warning them about this if they don't know about it. We should be avoiding going into places that are owned by non-whites. We shouldn't be going into Chinese restaurants. We shouldn't be going into kebab houses. We should be trying to avoid going into any restaurants that employ non-whites so that our money goes to white people for a start. And secondly, so that there's no chance of grooming going on. There's no chance of us being poisoned by them through the lack of hygiene standards that we see happening so much with them. So these are all personal steps that we can take to avoid becoming a victim of multiculturalism. And we can talk to our friends and we can talk to our family about it. Now, one of the areas where it's very hard to make a change in Britain in particular is in the NHS when you have to see doctors, because you really just have to see the doctor that they give you. What you can do is, if they make you register with a non-white doctor, is when you make your appointments, ask to see one of the white doctors. Leftists may shriek at this, but if you look at the figures for incompetence, you will see that 70% of the doctors that are struck off for incompetence are struck off because they are non-white. They're foreign doctors, rather. 70% of the doctors that are struck off for incompetence are non-white. So there is definitely a link with incompetence and being not white. And obviously that's down to the lower IQ, much lower average IQ, particularly of Negroes. So if you want to avoid being the victim of medical malpractice, try to avoid going to see a non-white doctor. And obviously we just can't help this when it's the specialists in Britain, which is a great shame. And it's not out of trying to offend non-whites that you don't want to be seen by a non-white doctor. It's because you want to be seen by the best person, and you don't want to be the victim of some dreadful cock-up when surgery's happening. But the main point to take away from this is to be indifferent. Just be indifferent. We hear these crimes, these horrific crimes, but don't get angry and go out there and try and get your own back, because it's not up to us to do that. And all that will do is look bad on nationalists. Remember who it is that is to blame for this. It's the traitor class, the traitors in the establishment that have done this. And as I was saying yesterday, a lot of them are allowing this to happen because they believe the liberal nonsense. They don't understand how a lot of it is just there to protect certain classes from criticism. They don't understand this. They haven't read the literature that we have read. And this is why they're told that it's hate. This is why they're told that they shouldn't read it, and it's hate, and it's all just down to the fact that we don't like the colour of somebody's skin, which is an absolute nonsense. I mean, other races are an existential threat to our survival. Because if you're living in the same territory with other races, there's going to be interbreeding. If there is interbreeding, then that's it. That's genocide. That is one race that's been genocided. And white people, we are a minority. We are a global ethnic minority. We are about 10% or under of the world's population. And 9/10 of the world's population is non-white. So the most important thing that we can do is just to ensure that we stay white. I really shouldn't have to say this, but there is no way that any nationalist should be dating somebody that isn't white. And you really shouldn't be dating somebody that's from another white nation, because that does away with the subtle distinctions that there are between the different white breeds. If you are to compare somebody from, say, Lithuania with Wales, you will notice that there's a difference. When you go to these white countries, you notice that there are subtle differences between the white nations. And those subtle differences get blended out when whites breed with other whites. We do have different breeds of white, just the same as there are different breeds of dog. And when you compare other races, it's like comparing foxes, jackals, and wolves to dogs. It's not like they are just a different breed of the same species. It's they are a different subspecies. That's what races are. They are different subspecies. So the most important thing you can do is just don't interbreed with non-whites. I can't believe that there was a movement in American nationalism or a strand in it that was saying, oh yeah, it's perfectly fine to sleep with non-whites so long as you don't get them pregnant. And you're swapping your DNA with somebody that is another subspecies. It goes totally against natural law. And as nationalists, we are supposed to be observant of natural law. We're supposed to be guided by natural law. And that's the worst possible thing that you can do is to go against it in that way. And that is even worse than the inversion of the act of creation. That's even worse than sodomy, is miscegenation. Because the end result of that could be a life that is neither one race or the other. And every descendant from that life from then on is going to be that way. Every single one of their descendants is going to be neither one nor the other. They're going to be a mulatto. That's a dead branch of the white race's family tree. And that can never be brought back to life again. When you think how many generations there have been of white people, all our ancestors that were righteous and married somebody that looked like them and cherished and protected what they had, that biological heritage that they had, so that we could be born today as the current generation of the white race. To throw that away, it's not ours to throw away. We are just the trustees of that heritage. To throw it away means that all those savings have just been destroyed. And all those descendants that the ancestors were expecting to have, they no longer have. They've been cut off. That line is dead from then on. So that is the most important thing that we can do, is just don't fall for the miscegenation propaganda. If you are an employer, make sure that you are just employing white people. If you are needing jobs doing around the house or make building work, tradesman's work, make sure that it's white people that you are employing. Rather than criticizing various other groups for not doing what you think they should be doing, we need to be taking charge of our own lives and leading good examples and doing the right thing in our own lives. When I was saying yesterday about this, you know, putting the needs of other people before your own, you start by doing that with other nationalists. You start by doing that with other nationalists. And by doing that, you set a good example to other white people around you. And as white people, we are generous and we are helpful. We like to do things for other people and we are sociable. Talk to other white people. Pass the time of day with them. It will really shock the white people in the cities if you do that to them because they're not used to it, because they're used to living in multicultural areas where you can't trust anybody. And this is borne out by the largest United Nations survey ever done on diversity that showed that there was no community spirit in areas that had lots of different races living there. So try to show some community spirit by just being pleasant to other whites. If you're living in the city, if you're unfortunate enough to be living in one of these war zones, then try to get out of that city. Just to be living somewhere among white people is priceless. The positivity that will bring to your life is absolutely priceless, regardless of the amount of money that you're earning in a multicultural city. You're surrounded by people that aren't like you. That is going to be having such a negative effect on your outlook on life and on your character. You will be far healthier and far more spiritually wealthy if you were to move out from that city and move to an area that has white, that is just white, and see what life is like, where you can leave your door unlocked at night. Things aren't going to get stolen. Things aren't going to go missing, where you have that sense of community that we used to have right the way across the country before the immigration started. And again, don't forget that this invasion of our countries is the logical result of us turning our back on our traditions and on our laws and going to war against our brothers. We went to war against our brothers. We destroyed half of Europe, and this is our punishment for it. This is our punishment for it. We can't say, well, that wasn't us. I didn't do that. You were a part of the people that did do that. You were a part of your grandfather, your grandfathers that went to war. You were a part of that. And your grandfathers were related to the politicians that made the decisions to do that. This is our own fault, the situation that we are in today. We gave in to temptation. So the answer to it is not to give in to temptation. Now, if you know these things, if you understand nationalism and you've read the literature, you listen to the podcast, then you have no excuse for chatting up non-whites, no excuse for watching pornography, no excuse for taking drugs, getting drunk, doing things to excess, being obese. You have no excuse for that. And if you are doing all of that, then you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. It's no good complaining that we don't have a national socialist party or fantasizing about having a big uprising and taking back the country if you are not making these changes in your own individual life to improve your life and set a good example to the other people around you, particularly the nationalists around you. That's the most important thing, is to set a good example. It's no good going to a nationalist meetup and taking drugs or getting drunk, because you'll just be portrayed in the light of being the skinhead thug of the 70s that the mainstream media likes to present. And with violence, don't, you know, I said yesterday that we should disassociate ourselves entirely from any violence that's associated with nationalism. Some people may say, well, what about self-defense? Well, self-defense isn't really violence that's associated with nationalism. But if you think about what happened last year with the Unite the Right rally, how was that portrayed? Our nationalists went there with defensive gear, and all they did was defend themselves. But it was portrayed as if they'd gone there looking for a war. And Jared Taylor has pointed this out. He said that if there are demonstrations, people should not fight back. It will be recorded, and then the general public will see us being attacked and not fighting back. Patrick Little has taken this and run with it. Basically, he's having these it's okay to be white demonstrations in America where people tape their mouths up and they just hold signs exposing the crimes that are going on. And if they're attacked, they're not fighting back. And I think this is the tactic that people should be using if they're going to be going on demonstrations, and make sure that it's filmed and make certain that there is no chance that the lying media can claim that the violence was in any way on the side of the nationalists. We have to show that it's the left that is carrying out the terrorism. It's the left that are intimidating people and using violence to try to achieve their political goals. We know that we are right. We know that our ideology is based on truth, it's based on natural law, and it's based on divine law. We don't need to be using violence to try to get our way. We know we're right. It doesn't matter what the left does. We know that we are right, and we know that we win. In the end, we are guaranteed to. Good always triumphs over evil, and the truth always comes out in the end. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I hope these last couple of podcasts do help people to cope with the situation that we are in, and I hope that they do give you all some hope as well. I'll be back tomorrow anyway with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.